I never decide if it's right or left or right. I just
Just put it on your head if it's comfortable. Is it comfortable? You got to take your sunglasses off, though.
Yeah, it's fine.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Hey, glad to have you back.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come back.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome for the invitation.
After last week's fabulous show, I was afraid perhaps I wouldn't be invited back.
Well, it was, let's just say you're skating on thin ice.
It was a good show.
Thank you. Thank you. I had a great time with Erica.
She sounded like she had fun too.
We are, listen, she was singing, maybe a little dancing that nobody saw.
I know. I listened to it.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. But I'm glad that you're back. I'm glad that we are back in the seats and recording another week for our listener.
I mean, you introduce yourself on the intro.
I do.
But for those first time listeners, maybe I should introduce myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to From the Dome to Your Home podcast. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
Well, you've already said that.
And I have my guest host, my co-host, my host.
Really?
My co-host when he can make it.
I've been promoted.
when he's not out of state. Scott Slatton.
Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you need to be on? I'm not putting you on the intro. Mr. Producer, if he tries, that's enough.
No.
It's been a week, my friend.
You know, I think we said that 2 weeks ago. But we were wrong.
Every week we're like, well, it wasn't that bad.
We were wrong.
Yeah.
This has been a week. And not necessarily because of things that have happened in committee or on the floor, but
right.
A lot of stuff has been going down
behind the scenes
yeah. and in yeah. the lobby. There's been a lot of business taking place in the lobby this week.
A lot of discussions, a lot of texting, a lot of handling business. It's just been...
On top of the things that have actually been actionable right. and taking place.
Right.
Which we're going
to
talk about.
Scheduled things that we've
Correct.
Had to do as far as
That's
testifying
right.
and, you know, just the regular business at hand.
That's right.
A lot of extra stuff.
So the team has been fully deployed. Not that we aren't always, but...
Right. But this week especially.
Really and been...
I would dare say that we've been fully deployed, but on multiple levels.
Yes.
I mean, everybody's kind of been handling, mm-hmm. yeah, handling levels of business,
yeah.
sharing all that business. Kind of feel like we're talking in code, but we're really not. Scott, before we handle the business, and we've got a mm-hmm. special guest slot, I guess,
yes.
this week.
Yes.
We were welcoming back a mayor and a fellow podcaster, somebody mm-hmm. who's been on the show before.
Yes.
But before I get to that, I'm going to pose probably the most difficult trivia question to you that you've had.
Okay.
And I do want to shout out Heather Reichard. She is the lady in charge of our risk management services, mm-hmm. you know, area. She told me yesterday that she listens every week to the podcast and she plays the trivia.
Really?
So, Mr. Producer, you have a trivia player on your hands here.
She would do, I bet she does well with the questions.
She said she hadn't missed one.
She has not missed
one.
I don't doubt that at all.
But Scott, this is, Mr. Producer picked out an extremely difficult question for you this week. Maybe
okay.
because you were not here last week, maybe because.
Yeah, last week was pretty easy.
I mean, This is gonna stump you, buddy.
Okay. We'll see.
How many South Carolina municipalities, and I'm looking for a number, you get extra credit if you can name.
Well, I can't give you a number until I start naming them.
How many South Carolina municipalities have the word wood in the name? W-O-O-D, wood.
More than two.
Okay.
I'll tell you that
okay.
right now.
Well,
speaking
good
of
job.
Speaking of which, I think you really enjoyed the live play by play yesterday of the tree cutters felling that big white oak on the state house grounds.
When
yesterday.
You were like, "Oh, here it comes," and then I heard this like all this crackling, and I thought you were standing underneath it.
I was. They had it cordoned off. There was a for our listener. There was a big white oak tree that was adjacent to the African American monument.
And you know they have wanted to cut it down before, but there was an owl family
right. That
was living
which
in
I did
it,
not
so
know
they had
about.
To give the owl family a chance to.
But
like,
I got some details. I was speaking to one of the Capitol grounds security folks, and they said that a large limb about the size of his waist had fallen at some point this year recently and almost hit some people.
So they
went ahead and took
that tree
down.
Or maybe the owl family was in the crepe myrtle.
I bet that tree was probably 60 feet high, and it was, you could not reach around it at chest level. It was a huge tree, and
right.
It looked healthy to me. It looked healthy.
Right.
But I think they were better safe than sorry.
Scared that it could possibly like have a master's situation.
I did not get the opportunity to go and ask the crew what they were going to do with the wood because I need firewood.
Well,
I'm always in search of
stocking up for the winter.
I'm always searching for firewood. I mean, I have about a half a cord right now, but that's,
you know
not going to be enough.
In our neighborhood or my sister's neighborhood or anywhere in Columbia, if somebody says free firewood, you're going to have pickup trucks just squealing up to it, backing up. And
now, I'm a little picky.
Because everybody loves to have a fire.
I'm a little picky. I don't take softwoods, but
right.
I'll take hardwood all
well,
day.
Well, speaking of wood, think about the trivia question.
Yes, I will.
Because you're not even close.
I said there's more than two. That's not
right.
my number. That's not my final answer.
You got to keep thinking. You could be the weakest link. We'll figure that out.
R.I.P. Regis Philbin.
Let's talk about a couple. I just want to touch on three things that got some movement this week that we are following. The Senate version of the squat truck bill, mm-hmm. Senate Bill 363, that is the bill that prohibits the modifications in the front fender mm-hmm. being raised 4 or more inches above the height of the rear fender squat
yep.
trucks.
Yep.
That was amended in subcommittee in the House Education and Public Works Motor Vehicle Subcommittee and passed out to the full committee.
Mm-hmm.
We've been told that there'll be a full committee next week, so we fully expect that squat trucks will be passed out of the House before the end of the session.
You would expect, yeah.
I would expect that.
And the amendment was very minor. It defined
right.
a fender.
A fender, right.
Further clarified
just
where
in case
you,
a car did not have a fender on
right.
it, maybe a damaged your bumper was damaged in the wreck this morning. Not
I wouldn't
the,
call it a wreck, but it was definitely a fender bender.
It was a dust
but
up.
But you think about like a Jeep. You see the kids will take the fenders off of a Jeep
right.
to make it cool. So it's just the tire and the
right.
wheel sticking out.
So then they defined the
yeah.
fender
right.
based on wheel wells. And
so they can measure you
right.
know, whether or not it's
and then
compliant.
They also added an additional warning period. So if you have a squat truck, you've got a while to adjust it back to where it's supposed to be.
That's not cheap. My daughter's boyfriend's got one and he hates it now, but it's just a matter of him cobbling together the
billions
money
of dollars
to do,
to
it.
Do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, to put it back.
Well, better go ahead and do that, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
Just fair warning.
He's a good kid.
Fair warning.
He had that done when he was Parker. In high school. So yeah, he's a good kid.
Something very positive, the House of Representatives concurred on the Senate amendments to the American Rescue Plan Act bill, the bill that distributes all of the federal funding.
That's good.
For those projects, that was Senate Bill 604. We have followed this throughout its entire lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Erica gave us a good update last week. I just wanted everybody to know. This goes to the governor's desk for signature or veto. We fully expect him to sign the
yeah,
bill.
Right.
And then it is up to the Rural Infrastructure Authority, right, to
yes.
begin the process.
And they are working towards trying to set up an orientation session
right.
for local officials to join and be a part of to understand how the thing's going to work. So keep your eyes out for that. And as soon as we get that information from RIA, we will be sending it to you.
And then next, House Bill 3734, that is the municipal election bill that mm-hmm. you have been working on.
Yes.
That was amended in the full House Judiciary Committee and sent to the floor.
Yes.
They it was on the calendar today, Thursday, for the first time. Mm-hmm. So that was a 24-hour point of order, because bills have to be on the calendar for 24 hours right. until they can be debated. And so that bill will not be taken up until Tuesday.
And so our listener understands, this is a bill that was requested by the South Carolina Association of Registrars and Election Officials, SCARE, is what they call. Mm-hmm. Their president is the election official for Charleston County. He's the one that sort of spurred this process on, and our involvement has been to make it more palatable and less
terrible,
less bad.
Right.
Not, I mean, I don't want to say it was bad to begin with, but because mm-hmm. Representative Brandon Newton from Lancaster really put some thought into the drafting of the original bill, but we have worked to make it better so that if it ends up passing, then the effects of it won't be as negative as they potentially could have been
right.
prior to. So right. I know there's been some concern about this bill expressed by only a couple of officials across the state. And in response to those concerns, is that has what led us to draft the amendments that were have
adopted
been adopted.
In full, right.
So in that respect, we hear you, we're listening, but this is something that is of interest to the General Assembly. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to make sure that it is easy to implement going forward if it passes as it could be. So
another big thing that happened this week, the Senate passed the budget, their version
that
of the budget, in 2 days. And Senator Peeler, Harvey Peeler from Gaffney, he is the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. He took the well after they gave it third reading. And he said, guys, next year we got to do better. It took 2 days. It's too long. We got to do better. Gosh, yeah. I love Harvey Peeler. But the Senate adopted essentially the Senate Finance version of the budget. Mm-hmm. They made some tweaks here and there, but for the most part, the numbers that the Senate Finance Committee set forth as far as local government fund mm-hmm. and first responder and all of those things that we are following and care about are the same.
Good.
There was, and I want to shift our conversation a little bit, because I want to talk about one debate, a specific debate that happened on the floor mm-hmm. About short-term rentals. And that kind of comes as a good segue, because we've got Mayor Stephen Murray to talk about short-term rentals and the importance of local regulation.
Yep.
And then I want to talk about what's coming up.
Yep.
Does that sound like a good kind of...
Yes, let's do that.
Okay.
This is the moving forward part of the show.
This is the what has happened, and now we're going to talk about what happened in relation to
what's going to happen.
What's going to happen.
Exactly.
And what we need everybody to do. Not everybody, but if you're so inclined and you're listening to the podcast, if you're listening for entertainment, I'm sure we're going to entertain you on this show as well. But
we do have a call to action.
But we do have a call to action. So I do want you to pay attention
yes.
to that. So yesterday, Wednesday, mm-hmm. Senator Sandy Sinn from Charleston, Republican from Charleston, she introduced an amendment to the budget in the form of a proviso.
Yep.
That was very specific.
Or it was an attempt to be specific.
It was an attempt to be very specific towards one municipality in Charleston County mm-hmm. and taking away their local government fund revenues if they regulated or messed with or banned short-term rentals.
Well,
is that correct?
She named Folly Beach on the floor
right.
and was quoted as such in the Post and Courier article in today's paper today as well. And this, we'll go ahead and tell you, we had already successfully overseen or we'd successfully
helped facilitate
the short-term rental proviso that the House had passed in its version of the budget. We had worked to get that removed from the Senate version.
Right. In Senate Finance Committee.
In Senate Finance
right.
Committee.
It would actually happened in sub, so it never
Correct.
Even got to the
never
full
even
committee.
Got to the full yeah. committee. It got onto the floor, and then Senator Sinn proposed this proviso, which passed the first time
the
around.
The first time it passed just with a voice vote.
Yes.
There really was nothing it was no fanfare. It was just the vote and they moved on.
Yes.
Senator Tom Davis, Republican from Bluffton, Beaufort, Hilton Head area. Mm-hmm. He, used a procedural move
yep.
to reconsider the vote where he voted. You can only reconsider the vote if you are you are the one that is asking for the motion. You voted on the prevailing side.
Whether that was yes or no.
Whether that was yes or no.
Right.
So he requested that the Senate, you know, bring that back up for
reconsider
debate.
Reconsider that proviso.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And once that motion passed and the Senate was back on the proviso, mm-hmm. Senator Chip Campson from Charleston, Alapalm, Sullivan's Island.
Well, there was a tabling motion at one point.
I'm going to get there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of you.
Right.
I apologize.
We are not there in the story yet.
Keep going.
So he gets up and he is 100% pro-city, pro-local governance.
Pro-local decision-making on the regulation of short-term rentals.
Right. Pro-local decision-making.
Absolutely.
100%.
That's right.
And he so eloquently stated it.
Very much so.
He had several questions from senators, and there was a little bit of a debate back mm-hmm. and forth while he was at the well, and then he moved to table the proviso.
Okay. Right.
Right?
I saw him speak next, which you're
okay.
coming up. I did not see him speaking the first time. So, gotcha. Okay.
And you know that's why you have me.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's why it's a team effort, folks.
So he spoke. He moved to table the proviso,
yep.
the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the oddest Senate votes I've ever watched because the majority of senators were not voting on the first round.
Right.
It was neck and neck. And the last person, when they came back and said, before we close, the roll yeah. caller, who hasn't voted that would like to. And they kind of went back and it would just went ping pong from yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
And the last vote was a no vote to table.
Right.
So the motion to table failed by a vote of 18-17.
Right.
Several senators weren't there and still several senators abstained from voting.
Yeah. And remember, there's 46 in the Senate.
Right.
So that was 35
right.
that voted.
So the tabling motion failed. So the proviso was back, for consideration. And then they moved to carry it over.
Right.
They wanted to talk about it some more kind of offline and
yes.
they moved to carry it over. Well, they took a break.
Yeah. They went into recess at that
they
point.
They went into recess. They talked about it. They had lunch.
Because at that point, it was becoming a fight.
It was getting snippy.
Yes.
It was getting a little, yeah. So then when the Senate came back into session and they got back on the amendments, that amendment came back up.
Yep.
And Senator Chip Campson so eloquently.
Yes, this is the part that I heard.
Right. He raised a point of order mm-hmm. that the bill was not germane to the budget.
Correct. And because it was seeking to change permanent law.
Right.
Which is
that is
which
a rule
can't do,
in the Senate.
You
right.
cannot do that by way of a proviso.
And he argued in favor of the point of order, and Senator Sin argued against the point of order.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, Senator Thomas Alexander, the president of the Senate, who mm-hmm. is in charge of ruling on the points of order,
yep.
he sustained the point of order, ruled it out of order, and therefore it was no longer considered and no longer included in the budget.
And that killed it. Yes.
And yeah, that killed it. That is just, and while it got to be, pretty lengthy.
Yeah.
The debate, that's just a small little snippet.
That's just the latest attempt
of what I think is coming and what we are looking toward next week. So
it is a prelude to what we've been saying and expecting this entire session.
That
and
is
it
correct.
Is finally arrived.
That is correct. Here in the ninth hour.
Yes.
3 weeks before
the
end of the legislative session. Les, before we talk about what's coming up, I want to hear from Mayor Stephen Murray, the mayor of the city of Beaufort, on his opinion and his perspective of local decision-making when it comes to short-term rentals.
Let's listen to him.
Okay.
All right. We have Mayor Stephen Murray from the city of Beaufort here with us. And we're going to talk about short-term rentals and what the city of Beaufort has done over the years to meet the requests and demands of its residents, the council, to regulate short-term rentals and why that's so important. And of course, Mayor, you, first of all, welcome.
Hey.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on the podcast or back on the podcast.
Back on the podcast. Right. This is another visit that he's having. We mentioned Habib earlier. He's going to be jealous that he's not been asked back on yet, but
I can't wait to rub that in. Next time I see the mayor of Goose Creek. We're not competitive at all.
No.
When it comes to our places or.
Mayor, you and Clemson Mayor Robert Halfacre conducted a session at Hometown Legislative Action Day where you imparted ideas and thoughts about how the different ways that your two cities regulate short-term rentals to the attendees that were there. Talk to us about Beaufort's approach to short-term rentals and why you got into the short-term rental regulation business to start with.
Well, first let me say thanks for the opportunity to participate on the STR panel and,
sure.
and meet Mayor Halfacre. Didn't realize, but he had some Beaufort roots, and he was actually the chairman of the regional chamber several years before I was.
How about that?
So we had that in common, and also our family bleeds orange. So we're big Clemson fans. Although he's a Georgia Bulldog, that's the mayor of Clemson. So that makes for some interesting.
How many Clemsonians know that, I wonder?
I don't know. We're going to be putting it out there. But he's a Tiger fan.
Yeah.
So. I've been in elected office 8 years, and it still sort of intrigues me what brings people out to City Hall when we put something on the table. And other things that we have crickets, we hear crickets. We'll spend millions of dollars of public money in setting the budget, and you'll have almost no public debate. And then you'll open an issue like short-term rentals,
mm-hmm.
and chambers will be packed full of, angry, passionate people,
mm-hmm.
about the issue. And that's kind of the place we found ourselves in. We had these, I call do-gooders. They fixed a bunch of historic, sort of dilapidated houses in downtown Beaufort. Wanted to put them in short-term rental, sort of business. Came into City Hall looking for, the rules to how they complied.
Well, that's good.
And yeah, it was great, but we didn't really have any
rules. Have any rules. Yeah.
So there was a public work session about, well, what should we do? And spoiler alert, I'm a moderate on this issue. I think that I'm a moderate on most issues, I think, which is not very cool in politics these days.
Right.
You got to be an extremist. I think short-term rentals have a place in most jurisdictions.
Sure.
There's a balance. There are benefits to short-term rentals. But I also think if they're unregulated, they can also take over and destroy a place if you let it. So I would encourage all municipalities, if they don't already put an ordinance in place that provides some regulation around numbers of units, safety, security, parking, trash, local management pickups.
Yeah.
So for us, we started a work session conversation. It was a madhouse of people in with very strong opinions on both sides of the issue. So we created a blue ribbon task force. We had citizens apply. Council, I think, did a really nice job of trying to have a balanced committee of some folks that were very pro short-term rentals and short-term rental owners. And then we had the anti-STR folks. And then we selected two chair folks that mm-hmm. were, I call the Switzerlands. They didn't really have an opinion. They just wanted to serve.
Right.
And so council tasked them with a list of things to go figure out, national best practices, how other communities were figuring things out, number of short-term rentals in our community that day. I think they worked on that about 6 months. They met once or twice a month
mm-hmm.
And came back and brought us a report. Council modified that report a bit. An example, they recommended that we have a cap per neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they recommended an 8% cap initially. I think we ended up taking that to a 6% cap.
So 6% of the total units within a particular geographic area would be eligible.
Right. So our city, we already have sort of legally identified neighborhoods across, there's 20 plus of them, I think.
Right.
And so each of those neighborhoods, there's allow 6% short-term rentals, unless it's like a a homeowners association that strictly forbids short-term rentals,
right?
Then we don't allow STRs there. You have to have a business license. You have to have a short-term rental license. You have to have a safety inspection. You have to have a local point of contact, someone that can respond to the unit mm-hmm. in some reasonable amount of time. You have to pay a business license fee. You have to pay local accommodations tax. You have to clearly explain where people are going to park, how many people will be staying in the unit. And then we use a it was called Host Compliance. It got bought by Granicus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a software solution.
Yep.
I don't know the pricing now. Several years ago when we first got going with them, it was a pretty reasonable price, in my opinion. It's a whole lot cheaper than having a staffer that would have to go find all this information out.
Yeah, and so Granicus is helping you locate these, find these units if they're not registered or unregistered units.
Right. Granicus does a couple things for us. Yeah. One is it locates the unregistered STRs. Right. And we have a $1,000 penalty if you're caught out of compliance.
Right.
Some folks pay. Some folks can't appeal and come to council. Mm-hmm. We've had maybe a half a dozen appeals since we put the ordinance in place. We've never waived.
Hey, we didn't know we were supposed to be registered, whatever. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We've never waived the appeal. We've always made them pay the $1,000, and that's been a little unpopular.
Yeah, I bet.
But I argue that you've got the majority of short-term rental owners want to be in compliance,
sure.
want to follow the rules, and want to be good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the condition of their properties, because they live and die by reviews, by peer reviews mm-hmm. or by user reviews, typically the properties are in good condition. The owners want to be responsive. They're paying into the system just like traditional accommodations. And so it's unfair when you have folks who are out of compliance who are sort of taking advantage of the system.
Yep.
And so we actually have short-term rental owners who are very supportive of the software we use and the compliance. So we flag them once a month. Business license office makes contact with the owners, guides them through the compliance process. But then the other cool thing for a data nerd like me is it provides a pile of data of occupancy rates, average nightly rate, mm-hmm. The number of bedrooms that are being booked. So for our tourism folks, it becomes a pretty powerful tool so that we can also use the STR data in conjunction with traditional accommodations to really get a better understanding of what's happening in our tourism and hospitality industry so that as we make course adjustments with hospitality and accommodations tax monies or tourism infrastructure expenditures or marketing funds, we use that data to guide some of those decisions.
Yeah, and that's good information to have. You know, the real estate industry is very interested in short-term rental regulations, but I think they're not focused in the right direction. They're focused at perhaps trying to limit your authority as city council to put regulations on short-term rentals. But they argue, hey, short-term rentals are a huge economic benefit to the state. I don't think anybody argues against that or argues that that is not the case, right?
No, they're a tremendous economic benefit. And I think for the city, where they're, I think, uniquely important is that we have one of only three landmark historic districts in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we've got a number of properties because we haven't always had this wave of prosperity that's washing over the Lowcountry.
Yeah.
And so we have a number of dilapidated and abandoned historic structures that are contributing structures, really important to the fabric of our community. But especially some of these smaller cottages that don't make a lot of sense for the modern family, when you think about the cost to renovate those, it makes it cost prohibitive. So we've seen in probably a dozen plus cases, maybe more, where the economic model of short-term rentals has allowed an owner to come in, completely refurbish the unit, put it in the short-term rental inventory. It generates a revenue stream, so then it helps sort of recoup the cost of rehabilitation.
Sure, yeah.
So that's one of the incentives that we put in our ordinance. If you're renovating a historic structure, it doesn't count towards the cap.
Right.
And then we've lumped on the Bailey bill.
Yeah.
And so we try to sort of stack these incentives to be able to induce renovation and rehabilitation of historic structures. And I argue STRs have probably been more beneficial to rehabilitation of historic structures in the city than almost any other sort of inducement or mechanism.
You know, that's a really good point that I think isn't discussed enough. Here you are incentivizing in a small way the right development, the right development of short-term rentals in the city. As opposed to just saying, no, you can't do it there. I think, unfortunately, there's some misconceptions in the General Assembly that people think that, well, cities just don't want them in their jurisdiction at all, but that's quite the opposite from what you just described.
So, well, I'm not going to speak for all 274 sure. municipalities. You know, for the city of Beaufort, again, for us, it's finding the balance.
Yeah.
You know, the other sort of special part about the Lowcountry is that we have Parris Island in our neighboring town of Port Royal. Mm-hmm. We turn about 20,000 civilians into Marines every year, and we're pretty proud of that. On average, 7 family members visit to celebrate the graduation of their Marine. And what we find is in our short-term rentals, this is sometimes a very rare opportunity for these families to come together to celebrate. And short-term rentals are a great place for them to, you know, rent multiple bedrooms, have a place to have a cookout, you know, not a crazy wild party.
Right.
Versus the experience you have in traditional accommodations. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's also about providing a richer visitor experience. And for better or worse, short-term rentals and Airbnbs are becoming an expectation of the traveler. So yep. for those of us who are tourism destinations, having some combination of STRs with traditional accommodations is the expectation. So
right.
if we're going to continue keeping our hospitality industry strong, we've got to meet those visitor expectations in not only accommodations, but in visitor experience.
So let's talk about expectations of your permanent residents then. You've had this ordinance in place for a number of years. How have your residents, how well received has this program been by your residents? Are there things that you tweaked at some point that weren't working according to their expectations?
We have not tweaked it since we enacted the ordinance.
Okay.
We do have a handful of folks that would like us to come in and tighten up the regulations a little bit. To reduce the numbers of short-term rentals.
Right.
I think if we did anything, you know, like downtown, for example, we have a neighborhood where if you look at a few of the streets, we don't have block restrictions, so you can get a concentration of STRs.
Right.
And so I have empathy for like one neighbor who's sort of surrounded by STRs, and she makes an argument that, you know, the fabric of her neighborhood where folks are changing over every couple of days or every week, you can't go borrow that cup of sugar.
Right.
You don't have a neighbor keeping eyes on your property. Although these properties are kept or well kept,
you know,
there's generally not an issue. Now, I have a friend who argues that he likes the short-term rental across the street because if you don't like your neighbor, they move on in a couple of days.
Yeah, he doesn't have a permanent neighbor.
And and when they have people in town, they can book the STR across the street and have their guests stay across the street without staying with them.
They don't have to stay in my house.
So, you know, you're in this work. You know, you're not going to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
I think by and large, our ordinance is working. There has been some questions about the displacement of affordable housing and rental inventory because of STRs. And I do think that's a concern for some places. And again, while I suggest that if you don't have an ordinance in place, you go ahead and work through that, try to put some reasonable caps on. You can always increase those caps, right, if it seems too tight.
Yeah.
But it's awfully hard to rein some of these things back in once they've taken off.
What would you say to a legislator who says, no, we should regulate this from the state level? You know, you cities are just too restrictive. You're taking away property owners' rights to do with their property as they see fit. How would you respond to that charge?
Well, I'm a home rule guy, and, you know, And I'm a federalist, and I believe that the government closest to the people best serves the people.
Yeah.
I think each community is different. So to say that, you know, some rural small city in the Midlands should operate and function just like a coastal city like Beaufort, I don't think is in the best interest of South Carolinians. I also argue that the folks in Columbia don't like it when the folks in D.C. tell them what to do.
Mm.
And so I feel the same way when the folks in Columbia sort of tell us what we can and what we can't do.
Right.
And I always suggest that when, you know, my delegation up here hears complaints from residents in the city, send them to me, right?
Yeah.
We want to hear those complaints. We want to sit down with people, understand those concerns, and figure out what the solutions are. But if we don't hear the complaints, we can't address them.
Well, I would argue that complaints about short-term rentals aren't coming to legislators. They're coming to you. They're coming to the local official first, right?
So I think mostly so, except that, you know, there are some big dogs, I guess, in the STR game.
Yeah, yeah.
They can hire, you know, lobbyists and come up to Columbia and try to, you know, unrestrict
But residents aren't necessarily reaching out to their legislators to complain about, you know, that noisy neighbor short-term rental. They're reaching out to you.
Not yet. Yeah. And I debated whether to put out in, you know, in Beaufort that there's a bill right now that may completely gut our ability to regulate short-term rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I got a number of residents that would be very unhappy about that.
Right.
And would certainly reach out to their state legislatures to, you know, encourage them not to do that. Because we do have a working ordinance. I've also been thinking about, you know, we had a new hotel, 100-room hotel built in the city. I'm told the cost was around $17 million for that hotel. And as I think about rural parts of South Carolina, that are these remarkable little downtowns. I mean, I was hanging out with Mayor Sen last week of Lawrence, Mayor Sanders of West Pelzer. I mean, you got these just cool little downtowns that have this rebirth. The likelihood of them attracting a $15 to $20 million 100-room hotel to their jurisdiction, unfortunately, is pretty low right now until they get a density of people that justifies that kind of investment by the private sector. But I think, you know, could we get creative and figure out some ways to incentivize or to induce more Airbnbs or short-term rentals in their little downtowns? Because you could easily add 15, 20, you know, 30 rooms within close proximity to these downtowns. Because I also think visitors, I mean, my family, maybe I'm a little biased, but our family, we look for places off the beaten path where we can be a part of a community, where we can get into a restaurant without a crazy reservation that's not a major urban center. And so we would be excited about finding some of these places and being able to stay. And so that would be maybe a suggestion for some of these folks that are trying to create a sense of energy and vibrancy in their downtowns and have something to offer.
Sure.
You got to figure out a way to induce more people to come and visit and spend money. And maybe STRs are a way to do that.
And a one-size-fits-all top-down approach from the state would not necessarily be conducive to that.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And again, I think there's a balance that has to be found.
Well, Mayor, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate the discussion. I hope everyone will speak to their legislators about how important their regulation, their authority to regulate short-term rentals is, because as everyone knows, there's discussions being had in the General Assembly right now about how to take that authority away from you. And that's not something that we necessarily want. As you're pointing out, we need that flexibility and that local control to answer those needs of residents and the businesses that are availing themselves of short-term rentals.
Yeah. So cityofbeaufort.org is our website. The ordinance is available in Muni Code. Anyone's welcome to reach out to me. I can shoot it over to you, but encourage any of your members to pick up the phone and give me a call if any specific questions about the ordinance or the process or how we work through it.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
You just got to love Murray.
He's good.
You just got to love him.
He's reasonable. He's rational. He's receptive.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, on this particular issue, he is entirely correct.
And he's a small business owner, but he's a business owner. He is a resident of the city of Beaufort, obviously.
Yes.
So he wears a lot of different hats. So he's able, I think, he's able to see a lot of different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes him so great to talk about this issue.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of different perspectives on this issue. Oh, it's not a black and white issue.
And listen, you know, he, just like most elected officials, understands the importance of property rights, understands
absolutely
the interests of these business owners who are operating these short-term rentals, and respects their right and perspective on wanting to continue in this business. But he understands that there has to be a balance.
That's right.
Between these commercial interests, these businesses, and the permanent residents within these districts where the city of Beaufort allows them. So
property rights goes both ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's something that I think local officials in particular understand. The it goes both ways.
Right. Well, they
understand, because they're having to, I was explaining this to somebody in the lobby today. Local officials, municipal officials when it comes to this short-term rental issue, are stuck in the middle between a General Assembly who has many members who want to take away their
who
authority
want to expand government overreach.
Well, they want to rob those local officials of the authority to regulate short-term rentals. And then on the other end of the spectrum, on the other side of those municipal officials, mayors and council members, are there residents who are saying, you've got to do something about this?
Right, right. I live next door to a short-term rental, and there are cars blocking my driveway. There's trash everywhere.
Those residents are not reaching out. Now, well, let me back up. The residents are not reaching out directly to those General Assembly members and saying, hey, you got to do something about this.
No, they're reaching out to the local officials they see walking their dog and at the grocery store and at church all day, every day.
Those business owners are reaching out to their elected officials.
Right.
They're general members of the General Assembly. Bypassing those local officials mm-hmm. in some cases, not
right.
all cases.
Not all cases.
In Buford's case, the business owners, the short-term rental operators, the residents, and the city officials came together and came up with a reasonable mm-hmm. approach to regulating short-term rental. So next week, mm-hmm. we've been told that this issue is going to be front and center in a 3M subcommittee.
That's correct. 3253, House Bill 3253, that is sponsored by Representative Lee Hewitt from Georgetown and a slew of others,
mm-hmm.
Will be up in front of the House Medical, Military, Public, and Municipal Affairs, Municipal and Public Affairs Subcommittee. It's a mouthful.
Yes.
The chair of that subcommittee is Representative Joe Bustos. He's a former councilman from Mount Pleasant, right?
Yep.
Joining him on that subcommittee are Representatives Rob Harris.
From
Lyman, I think.
Duncan Lyman Welford. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wendell,
the Tri-Cities, if you will.
The Tri-City. Wendell Jones, Jordan Pace, Marvin Pendarvis, and Joe White.
Yep.
That is the subcommittee in the chamber that it was introduced in. That's the first step
mm-hmm.
in moving the bill.
What House Bill 3253 does is says that cities and towns, local governments cannot prohibit short-term rental operation within their borders. And there are competing understandings or definitions of the word prohibit. My definition of prohibit is they are not allowed at all.
So you can't, you're saying that if this bill was passed, municipalities could not outright ban short-term rentals.
That's the way I read it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Unfortunately, though, there are a number of people, particularly in the General Assembly, who are making the case that the word prohibit includes restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Restrictions. Well, a cap would be a restriction.
Uh-huh. Even though they do exist in the city.
Right. So, I'll correct the Post and Courier. They said that Sullivan's Island bans them. There are short-term rentals on the island, on
correct.
Sullivan's Island.
Correct.
There are no new ones
right.
being allowed, but
right.
there are some. In Folly Beach's case, they are allowed,
right.
but the residents of Folly Beach just a couple of months ago voted to cap the number of short-term rentals that would be allowed on the island in the future.
Mm-hmm.
They did that through the petition and referendum statute in Title V
right.
that forced
the council,
that city council,
right.
the
right.
Folly Beach City Council, to pass this ordinance, capping the number going forward. So that the city council in that case did not want to do that.
That's right.
Or certainly did not want to set any cap at the number that the referendum required.
But the full-time resident said, wait a
minute. We're going to do this.
Yep.
So, but Representative Hewitt's bill would do away with all of that local authority to
right.
do anything with short-term rentals.
I still don't understand why we need a statewide blanket.
Well, a one size fits all in this case will not work.
Well,
does not
work. You've got Clemson, the city of Clemson that
yes.
they registered their short term rentals.
Mm-hmm.
You've got tourist towns all up and down
mm-hmm.
the coast. You've got Greenville,
mm-hmm.
Columbia. You've got bigger cities. You've got smaller towns, and it doesn't make any sense to have a cookie cutter approach to this issue because everybody deals with them differently based on where they are and what their
circumstances.
Yeah, their circumstances.
So Edisto Beach, I don't think they have any, you know, I don't know that they have a real robust regulatory scheme for short-term rentals down there, and they don't need it. They don't want it because right. that's their business. That's right.
That's up to them.
And that works for them. But residents in the city of Rock Hill came to the city of Rock Hill and said, you gotta do something about these short-term rentals. And right. so Rock Hill passed an ordinance. City of Columbia.
Right. That's
recently
right.
passed an ordinance, at the request and demands of the permanent residents. So,
right.
And they took a fairly, soft, comparatively speaking, in some cases, a fairly soft approach. And they should be allowed to do that.
Right. Right.
Whatever works for those residents, those property owners, those business owners, and that council, mm-hmm. that's where that should rest. Otherwise, those residents are going to have to turn to their members of the General Assembly and say, okay, you've said my local folks can't do anything about it.
Right. It's
your turn.
Deal with the noise ordinance violation,
of course,
or are you going to come pick up this trash?
The response is, well, you've already got ordinances on the books that they have to comply with regard to nuisance and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are. Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Sure. But, those businesses are operating in neighborhoods at a competitive advantage to other more traditional places mm-hmm. where people lodge, mm-hmm. like hotels, motels,
right. But they're
beds
not
and
held
breakfasts.
To the same, a short-term correct. Rental. They don't have to, like, for example, clean like a hotel does.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Because there are state laws on the books that says, hey, this is how you're supposed to operate.
But don't
there you? Are none. There are none that apply to short-term rentals. And so that's why local officials are stepping in.
Right.
And in one way, sort of leveling the regulatory playing field.
Right. So hotels are treated differently than.
Correct.
Okay.
By the state.
Right.
Number one.
Huh.
So if the General Assembly, in my view, if the General Assembly wanted to get into the short-term rental regulation business, it ought to do so at its regulatory level.
Right.
And bring those businesses more on par with businesses that they already regulate by way of hotels and that kind of thing.
Like another accommodation industry.
Right.
In the accommodation industry.
But just like cities and towns do with hotels, we zone them in particular parts of the city.
Right.
So should local officials be allowed to continue to say, yes, you can operate a short-term rental mm-hmm. in this part of the city or not,
mm-hmm.
in response to residents
right.
saying, this is what we want. So it's a complicated, it is, I don't think it's a terribly complicated issue, but it is going to come to a head on Wednesday. We'll find out where the starting line is. We've heard lots of different things about ideas for amendments and who should do what, and we're going to work through all that.
There are a lot of cooks in this kitchen.
There are
whipping up lots of different recipes,
and
yes. it's going to be time to bring it all to one and serve a meal here.
But that's on Wednesday at 9:00.
Right. Wednesday, April 26th.
Yep. So
it will be in the Blott building.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know where.
Don't know
yet.
Which room yet.
Mm-hmm. That's the house building on the state house grounds.
If you're a mayor or council member and you have an interest in this and you have an ordinance that's in existence now, certainly, you know, it's been suggested that, well, if you've got an ordinance in place, we'll grandfather it. Okay, fine.
Great.
But what about going forward?
Mm-hmm.
There are some places who are contemplating an ordinance,
right.
contemplating regulations.
And you know, Scott, there could be places that might need it and just don't know it yet.
Don't know it yet.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That it hasn't reached that potential just yet.
Well, Casey, six, seven years ago, would we have
thought that
this is something that would be proliferating across the state?
Not at all.
Smart, really smart people and investors knew it was
going
to happen.
They knew it, but, you know, nobody really.
But most of us who are just going about our workaday lives.
Right. just plain old people like us.
Yeah, didn't contemplate that.
And plain old podcasters like us.
Elected officials are just like us. They're just regular people living their lives and going to work every day.
That's right. Listen, they're just trying to do good, man.
They're not sitting in a room.
They're just trying to move our state forward.
Yeah, they're not sitting in a room thinking all the time.
No, they're busy doing.
Exactly.
Sometimes our mayors are cutting the grass at City Hall. Sometimes they're picking up trash themselves.
Ernest Moore in Talon, Jonesville.
That's exactly right. The man gets on a riding lawnmower and cuts the grass.
I think they may, I hope they at least give him some fuel. I don't know.
I love Ernest Moore. Is that all we want to say about short-term rentals? If you have questions.
Between what,
if you want
what Mayor
talk
Murray,
about,
yeah, right, what Mayor right. Murray said and we just said.
If you want to talk about it, if you want to, you know, have more information, we'll have information from the Dome to Your Home paper version online. And then we'll also have, you can listen to the podcast, but also call or text us. We're available. We can talk.
And also, if you have the opportunity and the inclination between now and next Wednesday, call your house member. Whether yes. or not they're on 3M, but yeah. particularly if they're on 3M,
yeah.
call them, tell them that, give them your opinion on, and tell them, hey, these decisions should be left with the local council,
right.
residents, and the businesses in those communities.
Have you thought about the trivia question?
I have thought about it.
Okay. You've been talking a lot, so I'm surprised that you... have been able to really...
Hey, I can think and talk at the same time.
would you like to go ahead and...
I don't know the number, okay? I can't give you a number, but let's start going down the list.
Well, that's what I asked for, was the number, but okay.
Well, you always ask for the number, but that's impossible. Nobody can get that.
Let's see what you got. Let's see what you're made of, Latin.
As Mr. Producer suggested at the beginning, before we even started the show, this city... obviously, is always first off my list. Woodruff.
Obviously.
Of course.
Okay. You and Joni.
Yes. The native, and I'm the adopted son, I hope. Greenwood.
Okay.
Woodford.
Okay. And I thought you were going to say another one, like, right after Woodruff, since you live there.
Gosh, dead air. Woodruff, Greenwood.
Where do you live, dog?
Huh? Oh, Blythewood.
Here we go.
Blythewood. Golly. I'm not an adopted son of Blythewood yet. I don't think.
You just live there.
Woodfin.
That is not an incorporated city or town in South Carolina.
What am I thinking of? Okay. I said Woodford.
You said Woodford and Woodruff.
Woodruff, Woodford,
I'll give you
Greenwood,
a hint. There's
Blythewood.
The only two W starting names left. You've gotten four.
And there's six.
And
they start with W?
No, you've already listed the
W's. I've already listed all the W's. Golly.
Do you want to know? One is in Charleston County.
Hollywood.
Yep.
Hollywood. And give me the county, the other one.
Sumter County. I drive through it on the way to the beach.
Pinewood.
Yes. Excellent work.
Boom, shakalaka.
Six South Carolina municipalities have the word wood in the name.
Why did I say Woodfin?
I don't know, man.
Woodfin exists somewhere, but
it's like a crossroads or something. That
yeah,
you
I just
have driven
I got,
through,
I
and
got that wrong. I usually know the incorporated ones.
Well, don't be throwing a crossroads in there.
That wouldn't
them fighting words at the municipal association. You know what drives me crazy? It drives me crazy when I'm watching the weather,
mm-hmm.
and the weatherman is like, "Oh, the town of whatever," and you're like that. Oh. And my children will look at me and be like, oh, I can tell it's not an incorporated. And I'm like, exactly. You can say the community of, but don't say like the town of Salters.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a town. It's a crossroads. The community of Salters.
Okay.
Anything else we need to talk about, Scott Slatton?
I'm kind of tired.
It's been a week, dude.
I think I'll go home now.
Right. Well, thanks for listening. Next week. Don't miss it next week, y'all. I'm sure we will have a lot to talk about. We may even have more people on the show. It could be a whole crowd of people talking about the short-term rental bill.
It may be a full team podcast next week.
It might be wild. So we look forward to sharing all that information on next week's show. Thanks, everybody. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.